The theme that we're in at the moment is called the gospel. The gospel. And the gospel actually originally was not a religious term. It was actually a term that was used to describe when news was spread, any type of news in a community. And so it would be like there would be a herald that would go through the kingdom or the community spruiking news, and it was called the gospel. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ is like you and me are the heralds going out into the community going, guess who's on the throne? Guess who's in town? Guess what's just happened? And the Bible tells us that the gospel is good news. The New Testament says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the good news. It is the power of salvation. I'm not afraid to have conversations with people because I know that when you do life God's way, you're going to be set free. I'm not afraid to have conversations with people. Amen, Fletcher. Because it is the power to set people free. It's good news. I'm turning up in your community saying, guess what? I've got the best news you'll ever hear. Do you know why? Because it's my personal testimony. I know it to be true. I know that the Lord reached into a dark pit when I was a mess and sat with me and loved me. I know that He pulled me out of that pit and set my feet on a rock. I know that when I started to listen to His voice and listen to the Holy Spirit's promptings, my life was healed and restored and built brick by brick by brick. It's my story. I know when the Lord asked me to make a change or give or serve, I wasn't less for it. He was building me. It's the story of my life, and I want to tell you it's good news, because the path I was on before He met me was leading to destruction. But the path He set me on is a path that leads to life, and that's good news. That is good news. And so I want you to turn your Bibles to John. The book of John is one of the Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chapter 4. And we're going to read a story about the first person to ever share the good news. The first person to ever spread the gospel. And so we read about it in John chapter 4. Let's read it together. He, being Jesus, had to go through Samaria on the way to where He was going. Verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily by the well at about noontime, midday. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." Verse 9, the woman was surprised because Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. "You are a Jew," she said to Jesus, "and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said. "And this well, it's really deep. Where do you suppose you're going to get this living water?" She's kind of a little bit sassy. And Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," said the woman, "give me this water and then I'll never thirst again and I won't have to come here to get water." Jesus then goes on and He explains to her everything about her life. He's like, why don't you go and get your husband so I can meet him? And she's like, well, actually, I don't have a husband. He's like, you're right, because you've been married 5 times and the guy you're living with now is not your husband. And she's like, right. Which explains why she was at the well in the middle of the day. No one went to the well. I don't know if you've been to Israel. It's really warm at midday. No one goes out at midday. She did. Why? To avoid public scrutiny. She had a reputation. She was at the well at midday so that no one would intercept her. Enter Jesus, who knows everything about her life, and calls her out. The very thing she was trying to avoid, she experiences on a master scale. And so she responds and she's like, whoa. And the only appropriate response in verse 28 is that the woman left her water jar beside the well, ran back to the village, telling everyone, can you say with me, come and see? A man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah, the Savior, the one who's going to rescue us? So the people came streaming from the villages to see him. Verse 39, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman said, he told me everything I ever did. So when they came to see him, they begged for him to stay in the village. He stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to believe. Verse 42, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him for ourselves. And now we know that indeed he is the Savior of the world. Can you say with me, wild hearts start wildfires? Wild hearts start wildfires. Anyone here a wild heart once upon a time? Anyone here a little bit loose once upon a time? Anyone here a little bit wild and crazy when Jesus met them? Anyone? Anyone here now saying wild hearts start wildfires? There's an incredible quote that says, if your gospel isn't touching other people, it has not touched you. If you're keeping the gospel to yourself, you have not experienced the gospel. Because it is good news. Because it set me free. I don't want to see the captives in my life stay captive. It is good news. Far be it from me to keep the best news ever a secret from someone who needs to hear it. If the gospel you know isn't touching other people, it hasn't actually touched you. Can you say with me, Lord, set me alight. Set me alight. Wild hearts transformed. You know, there's that part of town that everyone knows about, that part of town that you avoid, that people avoid going to. We won't mention any names of where that might be. But there's that part of town. And I want to tell you, Samaria was that part of town. Samaria was the place that Jews didn't go. And so it's very cultural in the Middle East. It always has been. And there's great big divides between cultures and statuses. There's great big divides. And so the Samaritans and the Jews apparently believed in the same God, but they didn't like each other. And they had different ways of worshiping and they had different forms. You know, eventually, sometimes if we're not careful, we worship the form rather than God. And so we have these people who are at odds with each other. So Jews did not go to Samaria. But the Bible tells us he had to go. Well, he didn't actually have to go because a Jew would travel around Samaria not to go. And the Bible says he had to go. Why? Because she was there. He had to go because she was there. And not only should Jews not interact with Samaritans, Jewish rabbis certainly would not interact with women. Jewish rabbis certainly would not interact with promiscuous women. But Jesus had to go to Samaria because she was there. I don't know if anyone can relate to the fact that I was the last person he should have come to. I was actually the last one he should have come for. He did not need to come to my place, but he did. He did not need to pause, you know, everything he's doing in the earth to come to my place, but he did. Anyone here? Do I have any friends in the room? Are you all too holy to admit it? Anyone? Come on, raise your hand. Anyone humble enough to say he shouldn't actually have come to my house? But the Bible said he had to go to Samaria because she was there. And this is amazing. He had to go. I'll never forget the day that he went out of his way for me. And maybe you need to bring to remembrance the day he went out of his way for you. Maybe today is the day that he's going out of his way for you. Maybe tonight is the night that he's at your well and you've been avoiding a situation like this and he's pointing his finger at you, not because he's judging you, but because he loves you. That moment that he came to your place and my place. And like this woman, what we've done all our lives is fill them with substitutes and placebos. Like this woman, we've looked for answers and purpose. We've looked for meaning and love in all the wrong places. And we're left broken and ashamed. We're left wanting. We have tried to satisfy ourselves with every other thing. I want to tell you, you will never keep yourself happy by trying to keep yourself happy. The only source of joy is the Holy Spirit. The only source of true joy is the Father. And we look for him, and the world is looking for answers in all the wrong places, and the enemy of our souls is having a field day, offering us everything else. Why? To destroy us. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to bring life and life more abundantly. And I want to tell you, it's good news. The only place where all of it makes sense is in the presence of God. The only place where the pieces of your messed up life fall into place is in Jesus. Go ahead, my friend. Try everything else. I'll see you in 10 years' time when you're a washed up mess. There's nowhere else that anything makes sense but in Jesus. That's good news. That is good news. And you know what? It's not until we recognize the counterfeits that we can recognize the true Savior. Because a wild heart knows true peace when he comes. A wild heart knows true love when he arrives. A wild heart knows freedom when he greets us. A wild heart knows truth when he speaks. We meet him and he begins to tell us the tale of our own lives. Jesus knows everything about us. In Psalm 139, it tells us he created us in the mother's womb. He's our designer, our originator. He knows everything about us. He knows how many hairs we have on our heads, every thought that's on our mind before we even think it. He sees us when we hide ourselves in the dark and when we're living in the light. He knows when we get up and when we lie down, and nothing is a surprise to him, and he loves us anyway. And he tells us the tale of our lives. He comes and meets with us. And all in one moment, we feel exposed and covered at the same time. And so how do we respond? You know, there's actually only one way to respond, but not everyone chooses it. It says there in that passage that the woman left her pot. and ran back to the city. Now we have to stop here because there's a thread of leaving behind all the way through Scripture. When Jesus turns up, the appropriate response is to leave behind our old life. She left her pot behind. The prophet burned the yoke and the oxen. We know that blind Bartimaeus left his begging cloak behind. We know that the disciples left their fishing nets. There's a leaving behind when Jesus calls. We don't add Jesus to our existing life. We leave our existing life and follow Jesus. And we don't give it a second thought. The New Testament tells us, he who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. Don't look back. Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. When God calls, you run. You leave your pot. You leave your nets. You leave whatever it is that was the past life and you run. You run into the plans and purposes of God. That we, after an encounter with Jesus, we deny our previous identity, our labels. We're no longer defined by our past. We are followers of Jesus. We are consciously leaving behind an old way of life. And so she leaves her pot and she casually strolls really like lethargically back into town. No, she runs. She leaves her pot and she runs. She runs to tell everyone in her city, come and see. Now remember, this is the woman with the reputation who didn't want to be seen by anybody. Now she's running into town, yelling at the top of her lungs, come and see. Come and see. Come and see a man who told me everything that I've ever done. And it says in verse 39 that many came from the city and believed, and they asked Jesus to stay. They invited more friends, and more people believed. And they said to her, we believe not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard for ourselves that he is indeed the Savior of the world. How beautiful that they heard it for themselves. I love this. I love when a wild heart catches on fire, because wild hearts spread. Wildfires spread. They spread. They spread quicker than you can imagine. And so like the Samaritan woman, we run and we say, come. This is incredible. I never imagined this could be possible. Of all my searching in all of my life, I finally found the answer. Come. Come. And so wild hearts start wildfires. In Jeremiah 5:14, I feel like when I read the scripture, he's writing my life, because he says, I, God, will make my words a fire in your mouth, Jeremiah, and this people will be like wood, and that word will devour them. The Lord would put his words in our mouths, and as we speak, the people we speak to would be consumed by the presence of God. A simple hello could mean a thousand different things to someone else's life. A simple coffee could be the answer to someone's prayer. We don't know, but I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation. I'm not ashamed to tell someone there's another way to live. Come and see. Come and see. Come and be set free from the pain that you're inducing on yourself, looking for answers in all the wrong places. One wild heart intercepted catches a light, intercepts someone else. Spot fire, spot fire, spot fire, wildfires. You know, just recently, actually at our last remnant room on a Tuesday night, if you actually love Jesus, you will be here on Tuesday nights. I'm sorry. If you're not complacent, you'll be here on Tuesday nights when we pray once a month. In the last remnant room, there was this stirring, and every remnant room is prayer and worship, and we just follow the lead of the Spirit that night. And it went into the harvest. And we were praying for the harvest. And we saw this picture of the harvest being white and ready. It's so ready. And do you know, this actual passage, I left out a big chunk in the middle of this story. Because what happens is, Jesus meets this woman while his disciples are off buying food. And they come back and they're like, oh my gosh, Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman. And they're like whispering to each other, how inappropriate, typical Jesus. And then they say, Jesus, come on, we've got something for you to eat. And he's like, you guys don't get it. I have a different kind of food. And then they start talking to each other. Where did he get food? Like, there's no food here. Where did he get food? And he's like, you don't get it. My bread is to do the will of the Father. I have a different kind of food. I have a different kind of thing that keeps me sustained. Doing the will of the Father, which pushes me beyond my own inconvenience and my own pain and my own preference. Doing the will of the Father actually sustains me. And then he says, hey, look, look at this city. And he points to Samaria and he says, you think that it's 4 months till harvest time. I want to tell you, harvest is right now. These Samaritans are ready right now. And then it's this incredible passage of scripture where it says in verse 36 of chapter 4, the harvester isn't waiting. He's taking his pay. He's gathering the grain that's ripe for eternal life. Now the sower, the one that does the planting, is arm in arm with the harvester. Normally, they're a season apart. The sower goes, the plant grows, the harvester comes. But here, Jesus is saying, the sower and the harvester are working together. That's how quick the harvest is ready. Immediately. It's immediately ready. And then he says, the truth of the saying is, one sows and one harvests, but I've sent you to a harvest that you never worked for. Without lifting a finger, you have walked in on a field that worked hard, was worked long and hard by others. He's saying the harvest is ready right now. And so on this remnant room, we were standing and praying for the harvest. We were praying for the laborers. And afterwards, one of the incredible men in our church, an incredible intercessor and a pillar in our community, came up to me and he shared a vision that he'd had during COVID. And I want to read it to you because I asked him to write it down. It says this. I was driving home about 2 years ago praying about the apathy in our nation, particularly in Queensland, and I had the following vision. Would you stand to your feet? I saw fields full of wheat, more densely packed than an ordinary field, more densely packed than an ordinary field. The wheat was close to maturity and the heads of crop were beginning to turn as though they were almost ready for harvest. And then I heard Luke 10:2, the harvest is indeed abundant. There is much ripe grain, but the farmhands are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And then I heard this. I prayed that the harvest would not be lost, and asked how the harvest will be brought in because it was so massive. And I sent straight away and asked that the harvest would harvest the harvest. The harvest will harvest the harvest. Act quick. If you have a salvation story, you have been part of the harvest. It is now your turn to immediately harvest the harvest. And that is where the sower and the reaper work together. That immediately turn around. Don't say to yourself, oh, I've still got to get it right. Oh, there's still months to the harvest. No, look, the harvest is ripe. You have a story. You have a story. And all that the Lord has asked you to do is be a witness. What is a witness? If you think of a courtroom, there's a judge, a jury, a lawyer, and a witness. What does the witness do? Just tells what they've seen. That's all he's asking you to do. And I want to tell you this, that the man with an argument, no, the man with a experience is never at the mercy of the man with an argument. The man with an experience is never at the mercy of the man with an argument. I'm not great at apologetics. I probably couldn't give you a whole bunch of really intelligent arguments, but I know that 3 days before I was meant to have surgery that would leave me sterile, the Lord healed my body in a service. No one laid hands on me. And when the doctors said I wouldn't have children, He healed me supernaturally. And the checkup before my surgery, the doctors were like, your condition has vanished. I don't know how to argue the Big Bang Theory, but I can tell you, He supernaturally healed my life. I'm not at the mercy of someone with an argument. You can argue with me all you want. But He took a wretch like me and He turned my life around. He put my feet on a solid rock. He built me in ways I don't deserve. I'm the last person He should have visited and restored and healed and blessed. You can argue all you want. I know the voice of a living God. I know the hand of a Savior. I know the love of a Father. I know it no matter what you say. And all I'm going to do is tell you that He's amazing and that He's faithful and that He's good. I know Amy's got a fire. I know this sweet introvert would shout from the rooftops if she needed to, because she does. I wonder if anyone else does. Anyone else got a story they're willing to share unashamedly? Anyone? Anyone? Crystal? Do I have any other friends here? God caught you where you were at? Anybody else? Do I have any friends in the room? Any wild hearts in the room? Kate, Laura, here we go. Jazz, now that's a story. Eli, wild hearts. Anyone else? Anyone else got a story of the deliverance and the power of God? Anyone else can say, I don't deserve this. He's been so good to me. Anybody else? I've got 45 matches in here. I can go all night. Anyone else? Anybody else? Any other wildfires in the room? Manny. Now that is a beautiful story right there. Oh, I'm kicking coffees over. Anybody over here? Amen. Yes. Amen. Any other wild hearts? Any other wild hearts? Joseph, for sure. Beautiful. Anyone else? Megs. You better take one, my friend. Joey. This one is going to be a wildfire. We know that. Anyone else? Rach. Don't be shy. It's a night service. We can go overtime, right? Beautiful. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. I know some of your stories. Who else have I got in the room? Esther. Here we go. Mario. Yes. Hey. Dave. Edwina. Right, are you ready? I did check before whether we were in danger of setting off the smoke alarms. And they said possibly not. So what we're going to do, if the fire guys turn up, just say sorry. But I'm going to light mine And then I'm going to light Rachel's, and she's going to light the next person. We're going to see how quickly this whole thing turns around. Now just promise me you won't burn your fingers or drop the match onto the carpet. Okay? Blow it out in a sensible fashion. Are we ready? Because, hang on, say it with me, wild hearts start wildfires. Come on, share the love. There we go. Share the love. Turn around and light someone else, because wildfires spread. Come on, spread it. Walk to the other side of the room. Share your fire with someone else. Walk across the room. Tell them the good news. Tell them the good news.
Jesus, you're worthy. All of the glory belongs to you.
Amen. Come on.
And above all names, we worship you only. All of the glory belongs to you.
Yeah, you can feel free to blow that out whenever you're ready. Obviously, we won't blow our fires out, but you get the idea. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stretch your hands to heaven? Lord Jesus, set us alight. Father God, today we thank you for the story. We thank you for your rescue. Father, we thank you you had to come to Samaria. Father God, we thank you you had to come to our place, even though actually you didn't have to, but you did because of your eternal purposes and plans. And so, Father, today, Lord, I thank you, God, that the harvest will harvest the harvest. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd lift the burden off us to be an answer to everyone, to be the judge or the jury or the lawyer. God, you're just calling us to be a witness. Just calling us to be a witness, just to say, this is what I've seen. Come and see for yourself. Come and see for yourself. And so, Father God, tonight, Lord God, we surrender our lives again. Maybe there are some of us here who need to leave our pot. We need to leave our nets. We need to leave our beggar's cloak. We need to leave something of the old life that is holding us back so that we can run into town. So that we can run into town. Father, those things in our lives, Lord God, that are restricting us and keeping us bound to our old identity, Lord God, today we leave them behind. And Lord God, we thank you for what you're doing, Lord God, in our own lives, for what you're doing in the world, in the community, in culture. Lord God, we pray, Father, if you would see fit, that you would just use us in any way you like. In Jesus' name, would you give him some praise tonight?
Love the smell of burnt matches. We just honor Pastor Carolina for the word she brought tonight. And before we go out praising God, before we go and go out to our week, it would be amiss if we didn't extend the invitation that Jesus went out of his way to invite this woman to come and see who he is. Are you in this room tonight and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus? To come and see that he is good. To come and see what he can do in your life. Are you still at the well trying to just avoid everyone else? Well, my friend, he's come out of his way to have an encounter with you tonight. He's come to see you. He's come to meet with you tonight. If you're in this place and you need to make a decision to follow Jesus, don't be timid about it. Don't be shy about it. What we're going to do is on the count of three, we're going to close our eyes in a moment, count to three, and we're going to lift our hands if you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, to call Him your Lord and Savior, and to start to follow Him like this woman did all the days of her life. If that's you in this place, eyes closed, everyone around. On the count of three, if that's you, say, I need to follow Jesus, lift your hand. 1, 2, 3. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Wonderful. You can shoot your hands down. Is there anyone else tonight? Lord Father, I thank you for the hands I've seen, but more than that, the hearts that were open to you that invited you in, Lord. Father, we acknowledge that you have gone out of your way to meet them tonight. You are here because you love them. You're here because you've chosen them. That whatever has been done to them or been done by them in the history has been rewritten by an encounter with the living God tonight. Oh, Father, we thank you that the old is gone, the new has come. The shame, the guilt, the pain, that whatever that which has defined them previously has been rewritten by Jesus tonight. And Lord, may peace, may joy, may love, may grace now define their story, be the characteristics of who they are. God, we thank you that they've been called in you. May you give them a passion for worship, for the word, and for the community of believers. We want to honor you tonight. And we thank you that more have been added to our people, our family tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Can you give them a round of applause and welcome them and thank them for who they are?
Thanks for joining us online. We pray you are blessed by today's message. If you want prayer for anything, you want to connect with us, or you made a commitment to Jesus today, we'd love to take this from a digital to a personal relationship. So reach out via the link in the description below. Be blessed. We'll see you soon.